From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. A new era is about to unfold for the textile and apparel industry. On January 1st, strict global quotas that cap exports to the U.S. and Europe are set to expire. That will mean a big increase in business for factories in India and China. And as NPR's Kathleen Schalk reports, manufacturers and workers in the U.S. are very concerned about the changes.
Cass Johnson, president of the National Council of Textile Organizations, sits before a row of binders, each labeled with the name of a trade agreement his industry opposed. At the end of the row stands the biggest binder of all, full of information on the expiration of the textile quotas. It's labeled Apocalypse.
Our industry is looking at a cliff that we walk up to on January 1st, 2005, and if something doesn't happen, we walk right over.
Studies in Johnson's big binder track what's happened to the few items that have already come off quota. He says China's share of the U.S. market typically leapt from under 10% to over 70%.
What China did was astonishing because China cut its prices by over half once the quotas went off. We discovered that China pretty much takes all our business as well as everyone else's.
Textile and apparel employment in the U.S. has shrunk by half in the past decade. Industry and union officials predict that at least two-thirds of the 700,000 remaining jobs could soon disappear.
With quotas being removed, it's going to be a different world. People here in Lyman and Anderson, South Carolina, are feeling it. People around the globe will see it and feel it.
Ted Matthews is vice president for corporate communications for Springs Industries, makers of home furnishings, including Wamsutta, Springmade, and other familiar brands. This month, Springs announced that it will close two plants in Lyman and Anderson, South Carolina, laying off 540 people. 400 of them make bedding at this plant in Lyman. Matthews says the company's invested a lot of money here.
And you can see all the automation we have in this facility. You know, it keeps the labor costs as low as possible. And it's allowed us to be very competitive for a number of years.
Matthews stands in a room full of big machines that grab comforter covers, stuff padding into them, and sew them together.
You can see the sewing head there running up and down the fabric, stitching the comforter. And then when it completes its computer-controlled process, the automated system will pick up the comforter and send it toward its next station.
It flies up to the ceiling to join a procession of comforters that glide along like poofy ghosts. Matthews says Springmade simply had to adjust to the new, more Darwinian era that lies ahead. China's got massive new factories with state-of-the-art technology, and workers there get paid 1/25th what they do in the U.S. Eric Alter of the National Retail Federation says China offers retailers other advantages as well.
They have a vertically integrated industry, which means they produce fiber, yarn, fabric, and clothing. Ports are good, the roads are generally pretty good, and that also counts for a lot.
U.S. textile and apparel producers have mounted a last-ditch effort to save themselves. They've filed what are called safeguard petitions, asking the U.S. government to reimpose its own quotas on some key Chinese exports. Industry groups say they're hopeful. But workers just laid off at the Lyman, South Carolina plant are not. A few hours after the announcement, Shara McElvey finished her shift and walked slowly to her car.
I cried. I enjoyed working here, you know. People up here like family, you know. It's been my life for 20-something years.
James Jeter, who's had other jobs in the textile industry, figures there's no going back.
Those places are all gone. The foreign trade have really wiped out the textile business here. Now, there's a few companies still striving, but it's just a matter of time.
Kathleen Schalk, NPR News.